Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, June 11th, 2007 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be your host for the next 2 hours. I've got a couple of announcements today. I wanted to mention, I've got a guest coming up today, a very interesting guest, going to tell her story that affects evidently 1 in 7 Americans, and I know there's a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of controversy going on this issue, so it will be an interesting show. It could tie in with other things the government's doing as well. But let me get to these announcements real quick. I want to make the announcement, obviously, Freedom to Fascism. All you have to do to get a free copy is email Bobby at freedom777@safe-mail.net. Again, that's Bobby. You want to email it to freedom777@safe-mail.net. You can get your copy, review it, invite your friends over for a party, get them enlightened to what's really happening with the income tax, which ties right in with Ed and Elaine Brown. For those of you who know Ed and Elaine Brown's debacle up there in Plainfield, New Hampshire, I'm going to make an announcement on Ed and Elaine Brown's situation. Folks, I'm going to do that second hour, and what I'd like for you to do is call all your friends, neighbors, and relatives and get them to listen in. Anybody that knows about the Ed and Elaine Brown debacle, I have been listening to some of these shows out here that are sensationalizing this, and they're hyping up a lot of patriots, and they're getting them aggravated and concerned, and that really does nobody any good. The government is in a kind of a catch-22 situation. The patriot movement's in a kind of a catch-22 situation as well. It's no good for everybody concerned. And, folks, I have a solution to this problem, okay? I want you to tune in. At the top of the second hour, I am going to give what I think is a solution to the problem that is going to make everybody happy and everybody can walk away and not lose face. So you want to make sure that you call everybody you know and have them tune in for this, because from what I've been hearing on the airwaves, and I'm talking about everybody's show, even on my show Friday, I had Jack McLam on talking about this. This is a serious situation. It is a chess match, if you will. We want to handle this with kid gloves, and I think I have found the solution for both the patriot movement, for the Browns, and for the federal government, so everybody can just kind of take a deep breath, walk away from this, and there's no harm, no foul. But on the good side of the coin, you know, there's battles that we fight every day in this info war that we're fighting. And some of the battles we win, folks, the immigration situation where there's, Bush is wanting amnesty, it looks like that may very well die, although Bush is throwing a tantrum about it, and he's trying to get some of the congressmen or senators to change their mind about the issue. The fact is it may die for a while. That's a battle won because of all you guys, and I'm proud of you. You know, people say, well, you know, it doesn't do me any good. I'm just one person. What can I do? Well, guess what? When we get into a group and we start calling congressmen and senators and sending them faxes and emails and just lambasting them, it does work, folks, and it's working again. The immigration bill just may die. And another piece of good news here. Court rules in favor of enemy combatant. George Bush didn't like this one too well. Richmond, Virginia, this is out of the Associated Press. I'm sorry. The Bush administration cannot legally detain a U.S. resident it believes is an al-Qaeda sleeper agent without charging him. A divided federal appeals court ruled Monday on this matter. The court said sanctioning the indefinite detention of civilians would have disastrous consequences for the Constitution and the country. In the 2-1 decision, the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals panel found that the Federal Military Commissions Act does not strip Ali al-Mari, a legal U.S. resident, of his constitutional rights to challenge his accusers in court. It ruled the government must allow al-Mari to be released from military detention. I would call that a win, folks, wouldn't you? We'll be back in 3 minutes with my guest, Sheila Holm. We're going to talk about identity theft and some of the things involved around that. See you in 3. Stick with me, and don't forget to call all your friends and neighbors for the top-of-the-hour announcement next hour.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And before I go to my guest, I want to read a couple of paragraphs here and tell you a little bit about her. Sheila Holm, more than 15 years ago, she returned to an empty home due to a crime committed without forced entry, resulting in a 10-page credit bureau report. Her character and credibility was being thrown into question, and her career was halted. She quickly found herself in a battle with unknown adversaries, alone, without a single asset or her identity. At first, she followed every instruction, the police, the district attorney, the FBI, Social Security Administration, regional, district, and state, and the Office of the Inspector General, the Department of Motor Vehicles, per their statement, this all said, change your ID documents for your security and protection. And over time, she realized that her identity and her assets were not secured or protected, ever. Even though she had followed all of the instructions from the experts. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of this because I can read this for the next 20 minutes, but I've got Sheila on the line now, and this is something that is necessary that we all talk about, folks, because we're all subject to this, okay? So without any further ado, let me bring up Sheila Holm. Are you with me?
Yes.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. I wanted to mention before we get into this, I had mentioned when I first came on the show, at the top of the next hour, I wanted to mention to you, Sheila, that I'm going to make an announcement on this Ed and Elaine Brown debacle because I think I have a solution to the problem. Okay.
Okay.
So for a few minutes of next hour, we're going to get off topic and I'm going to talk about that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And that'll be right after the top of the next hour. But anyway, you were the victim of identity theft. And I want to, for the benefit of my listeners, I want you to walk them through and tell them the story of what happened to you.
Well, I was told to go on to 4 different Social Security number changes due to bringing judges and then the felony fraud DA. After the 4th Social Security number change, the fraud didn't stop. So the felony fraud DA's office that was enforcing the fact that I had to go on to all these Social Security number changes to protect myself, I had to uncover the fact that he had committed felony fraud himself. So he was behind the scenes deciding cases just like the judges and in payoff situations just like the attorneys. So in uncovering all of that, all those Social Security number changes were all for naught. Every Social Security number change that I did was on my own dime. So I had to change my car. I had to change where I live. I have to change my address. I have to change my career. And I can't let anything merge according to the DA's office. That's when they put you in a government witness protection program, you have to, in essence, get rid of all of your past and start a whole new life. Well, I was having to do this on my own financial structure, and I was doing it to protect myself, and absolutely none of this protected me, and I had to do all of these careers without being able to use all of my college education. So in doing this, I was explaining to my family and my friends, which they said I couldn't even trust, but I knew there were members of my family who did not know from the Midwest that this was even going on. So as I updated them with what was going on, my credibility went into question even with them, because none of this seemed to make sense as to why. And every time they told me why I had to change, and then when the problems all started again, that's when I started noticing the pattern of identity theft. So I was actually telling the government how we could stop identity theft before 1 million citizens had been impacted back in 1998 when they started the Senate hearings. Okay. I told them exactly what was happening.
Okay, now let me stop you here.
Uh-huh.
All right, let me just kind of bring everybody up to speed here. You were the victim of identity theft, and when
right.
you went to the powers that be to report it, they instructed you on what to do. And who we're talking about is the Social Security Administration, obviously the police and all of the parties involved. And they had informed you that you had to go get a new driver's license, new Social Security number, new credit cards. I mean, you had to start from scratch, basically.
Exactly.
All right. And then when you did that again, it was the same thing again. Somebody had found your identity again and done the same thing to you, right?
I was destroyed every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then I started to notice a pattern. After all of this happened, I noticed the pattern. Every 2 years, we get a Social Security benefit statement in the mail.
Right.
When that happens, if you're born in an odd or even year, all of your information merges. So the credit bureaus, the IRS, and Social Security, and they will deny this, but all of that information merges, and absolutely everyone interviewed by the Senate Finance Committee, you can go back and look at those tapes, everyone said, I didn't know this fraud existed until 18 to 22 months. It was that old by the time it came on my record. So even if you check your credit bureau reports to this day every month and you pay all these fees, all of that is a new industry that's been developed, and none of that helps. Because that fraud's not going to merge with your record until around September of your odd or even year. I was an odd birth, so my credit was destroyed as of 91, 93, 95, 97.
So you had reestablished credit in between all of those years on four different Social Security cards.
Correct.
Four different, I'm assuming four different driver's licenses or?
Three. They blamed me when I changed the Social Security number the first time. I did everything they told me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 95, they told me that it was my fault that I didn't change driver's license numbers because someone had a driver's license in my name. And they were able to access onto my second Social Security number because I still had the same driver's license number.
Now, who told you that specifically?
The DA's office. That's why they sent me to their DM. They have a DMV investigator that works purely with the DA's office on criminal matters. And they sent me to that investigator, and then he had to prepare a file. He had to do an investigation, and then he issued he's also given me a letter that there was an imposter that had my driver's license, and that's how this happened. And then I had to take all the records of getting a new driver's license number in 95 and go to Social Security office, show them the same records, and get a new Social Security number and start over again.
Okay, so this happened to you on four different occasions, and the way that the original identity theft, came to pass, if you will, have you done any of your own investigation trying to figure out how this happened?
And I gave all the information to the DA's office, but citizens across the nation have found out, and it's in several articles on, if you Google identity theft victims across the United States, the district attorney will not help you unless your case is over $150,000 in damages.
Mm-hmm.
So my first case was $135,000 in damages, and it all happened in a matter of like 48 hours, what they did to me.
How did they arrive at that figure? Magic number? I mean, they figured
that's the magic number. Well, it's the magic number that district attorney's offices use. So I would have had to have hired my own criminal attorney to then go after these people and then try and secure something from these people. And yet the crime, when you look at identity theft, the crime has nothing to do with me. The crime is a crime against our economy. And so their ability to use credit could be stopped. Their ability to use my Social Security number could be stopped. And no one's doing anything. So when I tried to stop it in 98, when there were only a cumulative of up to 1 million citizens impacted by this crime, they didn't do anything. So now that they're allowing it to continue, and they still have no policies and procedures in effect, even as of this morning, to impact and stop this, now millions of citizens are impacted every year. Businesses are losing billions of dollars, because when that fraud credit report is established, the credit bureaus are confirming and validating the fraud. Because every time they issue that fraud report, when a credit or when a car dealership requests it, or a hospital requests it, or any of these people. And on my very first Social Security number, a fleet of cars were purchased in Carson, Toyota. I didn't even know Carson was up by Los Angeles Airport. I didn't even know where Carson was. A group of women got in a limo and went to Utah, and there was a Utah medical center that had this huge bill on my credit bureau report. They all had plastic surgeries. Now, I didn't know for 5 years that someone was using a driver's license in my name.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
But the DMV had to know. I mean, they had to know that these people bought these cars. It wasn't me. And that's what citizens were saying in 98 in the Senate hearings. They had to know it wasn't me. It was in a different state that this person purchased this house, purchased this SUV.
Well, when that does, I mean, you say, well, it doesn't affect you personally, it affects the economy, but it does. I mean, if somebody buys something that is in your name or uses your name and your credit to purchase something,
right.
And then I would assume that they're not going to pay for it anyway.
Right.
So within a couple of months, it's going to show up in the credit bureau.
It will, but it'll be on their report until the reports merge. If you can picture parallel reports being created in the credit bureau, and there's multiples. All they have to do is use your Social Security number for it to eventually link up to you. They don't have to use your name. They don't have to use your birth date.
Oh, I see. So what you're saying, I was going to say, because I'm in the mortgage business.
Mm-hmm.
And, if I write a loan for somebody, I can pull a credit report, and if there's anything adverse in there, it's going to come up right away. But what
it won't show up.
Well, what you're saying is if somebody gets access to your Social Security number and they're using a fictitious name.
Right.
It's not going to show up in the credit bureau until they merge them within 2 years. Is that what you're
right.
saying? Oh,
right.
I see. Okay.
So
right.
As a mortgage lender,
mm-hmm.
you end up giving a loan on that house to that person because their credit looks great. But you don't know anything about the person because that whole report is fraud.
So ultimately what would happen, the outcome is these people would buy, well, let's not take a house because eventually they would have to move out of the house.
They're doing that. They're buying houses and not paying property taxes or et cetera. And then now there's a mortgage lending fraud thing that has been developed, and there was not an FBI agent attached to this till November of last year, and just in California. And that is that they're taking out third, fourth, and fifth loans.
Mm-hmm.
They're being funded supposedly from Pakistan. And a lot of the people on the telecenters in Pakistan used to be students here in the U.S. in our schools. And these loans supposedly took place, but they don't take place.
Wow. I mean,
the citizens are down at the steps of the courthouse buying a TD on a house. They don't know it's a fourth or a fifth TD. The house is over-encumbered beyond the equity by the third loan. They're having to pay off a fourth and fifth loan or losing their credit. And that's why I predicted that foreclosures were going to be so high in 2005 and they were going to double in 2006, and they absolutely did. July of 2006, when all of this was happening, I said, well, now they're going to be doubled by the end of this year, and they were on track to do that. And now foreclosures has become an industry unto itself also.
Okay, let's hold that thought. We'll
okay.
be back in three. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest Sheila Holm. We'll be back. Stick with us. It gets better. This is a fascinating discussion, folks.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, and come a little bit closer and hear what Sheila Holm has to say about this scary situation here with identity theft. Now, Sheila, this is a short segment coming up here. We've only got about 5 minutes, and then we go to a break, and there's a long segment. But you're talking about people that are on the courthouse steps and foreclosures that are finding out after the fact that there are liens on the property that they're buying?
Yeah, they buy the TD, but the TD is a fourth and fifth TD, which isn't even illegal, and it isn't even legal in the U.S. for U.S. to fund those. You normally can't get a third TD on your house. It's normally a first and a second.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a third, it's usually a high, hard money loan, and it's evident.
Well, you say TD, you're talking about
a trust deed.
Well, you're talking about a mortgage, yeah, a second or third mortgage. Right. Well,
right.
Listen, do you want to take a phone call real quick?
Sure.
Okay, let's go to Don in Ohio. Don, you're on with Michael and Sheila. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I was curious whether or not you know if a person can put a block on their credit so that, you know, I've got one card now, I'm trying to pay this sucker off, and I don't want any more credit offers, you know, and I mean, that's the easiest way for them to steal your identity. Is there a way that I can go into the system and tell them, you know, do not offer me any more credit?
Sheila?
Yes, you can say that. And our biggest problem with identity theft is that the credit bureaus really don't care, and the credit bureau process has changed. If you close out your accounts, if you're what was always considered a good citizen and you keep all your bills paid, and you don't owe anything on your credit cards, and you close those credit card accounts, which people were referred to do, a closed account does not mean paid off does not mean paid off early. And those were always the terms that were used up until all of this started. But now the credit bureaus are only putting closed by customer request, and that does not help your credit.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't gonna cancel the card because I understood that. I have read that before. It's actually worse to cancel the card, and you know, I'll keep the card. You know, and I want to definitely pay it down.
Now, what gives you good credit is never going above the half limit on the card. So, if you have a $2,000 card, don't go above $1,000. That's the key.
Right, and the more trade lines you have open and
right.
commensurate with what they feel your income is in your profession, that's
right.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't close lines. People were told to close lines, and they closed a whole bunch of cards and cut them up, and that destroys your credit.
Go ahead, Don. Do you have more?
That's all right. Let somebody else get in there. Thank you much.
All right. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go back to what we were talking about here. So we're talking about these second, third, fourth mortgages, fifth, sometimes hard money loans that aren't showing up as a lien on title when these people come in.
Well, and typically those people in Pakistan never funded that loan. So when I go down to the court steps and I pay off that TD and I think I now have rights to that house,
mm-hmm.
which I really do, those loans were typically never funded, and so the money that we're spending to those mortgage lending companies is just another fraud scam.
Now, by the way, I never caught this when I was talking to you off there. Can you want to disclose your profession to us?
I'm a business coach.
Okay.
And I've been doing this internationally because it's been almost impossible to work in the U.S. with all the Social Security number changes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been up for running companies because I was running a corporation when all of this happened, and people really enjoy the interview and everything goes great. But then when there's a question in my background, no matter how much I can explain it, I can't get the job.
So that it affects you in more ways than one. It doesn't just ruin your credit. I mean, you have to literally start over again because of this every 2 years and build your credit up again.
With a new career.
With a new career.
Living in a different place. With no credit or work history to do any of it. So try and get a job without a work history.
Oh, I know, and you know.
And without an education history and without a credit history. Because when you want a top job, the first thing they check is your credit history. That's your background check. It's a big part of your background check. And when they can't find you, then you look fraudulent. So this whole process of changing Social Security numbers, the woman that I mentioned when I was on last week, with the 81, she found 81 people that had used her Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security promised on 60 Minutes 2 on May 5th of 2004 that they were not going to do this again because it's as though citizens come in with a cold and they tell them to amputate all their limbs. And so that was a quote from the director of Social Security. But what did they do in 2006? They changed that woman's Social Security number to protect her. They didn't have to change your. You don't have to change a citizen's Social Security number. You have to stop the fraud against the Social Security number.
Well,
but they're not doing anything about the illegals that are using our numbers, and that's what I was meaning about. It's not about me. When I was given a book by a man in London, and he invited me to the training session, which happened to be in a mosque in London,
mm-hmm.
And I got an FBI agent to go with me, and we went to this training session, and I had the copy of the book that the man had given me because he heard a conversation on an airplane. A man sitting next to me from Houston isn't able to have his house. He lost his house before he realized that there was nothing he could do about identity theft. He was just trying to keep his credit clear, and you can't do anything about your credit when all this happens, and the credit bureaus aren't going to help you. So he was trying to hold his family together, so he had to work internationally, same as I was doing. We ended up sitting next to each other on a flight. Well, this Arab man happened to be sitting behind us, Muslim man. And he heard the conversation, so he gave me the book. And in the book, it tells them, if you're not earning $30,000 to $40,000 a month, come back to the training.
Okay, let's take a break here. We're going to go up bottom of the hour. We'll be back in three. My guest, Sheila Holm. It gets better. There's a lot more to say. And then I'm going to make an announcement about Ed and Elaine Brown at the top of the hour. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Sheila Holm. We're talking about identity theft, and Sheila, you know what? In writing these questions down, I forgot where we left off. Do you remember that topic?
Well, we were talking about the guy who gave me the book in London.
Ah, yes. Okay,
go ahead. And it doesn't matter who the citizen is. They just want a good credit rating. And so my fault that I grew up in the Midwest, and it was, you know, accomplish all these things by the time you're a certain age. And so I kept buying great cars and moving in and buying houses or doing lease options because I couldn't just go rent an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have equity to use to keep going when I kept taking the hits. So it became even worse for me. And what I didn't realize, because what the government tells you is that it's people that know you. The DA kept saying, it's people that know you that are doing this to you. And so what you've got to do is not let anyone know what's happening to you. So I was always really close with all my college friends. I was really close with all my professional peers. I did a tremendous amount of networking to build up my background and become successful. And so what they told you was, don't participate with any of those people. And it was nobody in my inner circle who had anything to do with any of this.
I was just about to ask you, what is your belief? Do you honestly believe that, you know, it's people that know you? Do you believe that?
No.
No, I don't believe it either. And the next question I have for you is that, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, you never heard about this. Or you heard about it once.
That's what I've put in all of my information and what I've shared continually. You look at the history of Social Security,
mm-hmm.
for 50, 60 years, this never happened. It didn't happen until the fraud strategy started. And it all started in the 80s when they started buying marriages in the U.S. for $3,000 from a college student. And these were foreign students who were coming in on student visas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the fraud strategy started. And it happened, and I knew about it, but didn't put two and two together. And that's what I mean. When the U.S. Department of Treasury is the same as the U.S. Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office. They keep saying that identity theft is a crime that's so overwhelming that as soon as they catch up with one angle of it, there's a new angle. And what they're not doing is backing away from it and seeing the strategy. And the most frustrating thing is I flew back to the United States and raced to the DA's office and to the FBI office to show them the book that I was given.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if I would have known this, you know, because here my life's been destroyed already at that point for like 12 years. And I started reconnecting with all my friends again. And I mean, because I was living this life in fear. And that's the worst thing that anyone should do. But they had me convinced that I was letting this happen to me. I was doing something that was letting this happen to me.
Right. Well,
so
it brings something else to mind. And I don't, did I cut you off mid?
Well, no, just that the book, they just said, oh, the books have been out for years. And I said, well, if I would have known this, you wouldn't have been able to put me through what you put me through. If I would have known this is what they're doing to us, I would have been standing with placards on the corner in the city square and saying, wake up, America. This is what they're doing to us.
Okay, you know? My question to you is this, is because I get these emails all the time,
mm-hmm.
At least, you know, minimum of twice a week and maximum, I'd say, of five times a week, of this engineer that died in Lome, Togo, and he has $10 million in his account, and this lawyer, you know, this barrister, whoever he is, wants to use my information to... you know, he's going to give me 15% of the proceeds to use my account to get it out of the country and say that I'm a relative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does this tie in somehow with that?
People are finding out about you through the 800 numbers that are being allowed to ring outside the U.S. with the outsourcing of our jobs. The outsourcing of our credit, the outsourcing of our bank accounts, the outsourcing of that information. The FBI can't protect you when your records leave the U.S. shore. And our federal government has allowed all those jobs to be outsourced to India, to the Philippines, to South America.
Right, to India. Well, I mean, I know that I had Sprint, for example,
uh-huh.
and I got rid of Sprint. I called their customer relations line one day,
mm-hmm.
and this is, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some guy, hello, yes, this is Ahmed. And and I said, well, you know, and I got into the conversation, and I said, well, where, you know, who are you? Well, I'm customer service. Mm-hmm. Well, where are you located specifically? Well, I'm with Sprint. And it took me about 4 or 5 direct questions to ask him before he finally told me that he was in India.
They're not supposed to release that, yeah.
Yeah, well, as soon as he told me that, I canceled Sprint. I said, that's it. I'm done. Okay. Because
our bank records are even over there.
Right. So all this thing about, you know, well, for example, the tax, the what do you call it, the Freedom of Information Act, not that, but there's a Privacy Act thing. There's a warning. It's kind of like a Miranda warning on a tax book when you read it. And I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's basically a Miranda warning that says when you file a tax return, they can share it with all parties, you know, international governments and all this stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So these people, I mean, they're obtaining our information via, is maybe the telephone company selling it as well as the Social Security Administration? Or, I mean,
telephone company is one way that my information was sold originally, but they're all selling it. In fact, on my fourth Social Security number change, I refused in 97 to change numbers. My status was so bad by 1998, I had no other option. So I went back to Social Security and back to the DMV and changed absolutely everything in 98. When I'm standing in the Social Security office and I'm in front of the same manager I've been in front of for all these changes, again, he's telling me it's my fault. And I said, what could I have possibly done at this point to be my fault? And he said, you didn't change your name and you didn't change where you live. You've stayed in the San Diego area and you've kept your same name. And I said, well, excuse me, this is going to be my name my entire life.
I was going to say, I mean, but then you've got all kinds of...
And I didn't commit a crime.
You've got all... But if he says, well, you have to change your name, you have to change your address.
Yeah.
But then you run into the situation, if you change your name, now you're under an alias, and now, you know...
Exactly.
And now you've got a whole other set of legal hoops to jump
through.
Well,
now, that's the joke that happened. And we will come back to those emails that you mentioned, because I don't want to lose track of your original question.
But, okay, go ahead.
But what they did with me is they said, you have to put a name in front of and behind your name. And I said, well, then I have to go to the courthouse to do that, and I don't want a public record as to what my name would be, because then I'll be in the same situation. And they said, well, no, you can just do it right here in the office. Now, so I'm filling out the application. I'm putting a name in front of my name,
mm-hmm.
and then Sheila Holm, and then a name after my name.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm calling my cousins in Northern California, and they're setting up a P.O. box. They call the manager back, give him the P.O. box number. So no one else knows that number except the manager and myself and my cousins. I put this on the application form. They give me a copy of the form. They send the form in to Baltimore because they said, you need additional protection because of everything that's happened to you. We have to go through the main office and not just do it through the computers. And so he said, it'll be a delay in you getting the card, but you should have it within a month. I said, fine. So I leave the office. 2 weeks later, I get a pre-approved credit card application at the unusual first name, the unusual last name, and only H is my middle initial.
So we know then that Social Security is doing this.
Exactly. So then I called, and they wouldn't do anything about it. And it took 2 more weeks before I got the Social Security number card. I went with all of this information to the FBI.
All right. Wait a moment. Let me stop you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, did they deny that they were doing this?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Their standard is, we do not sell our lists. And I said, well, then you just need to know that an employee is. And they refused to listen to me. So I went to the FBI. The FBI put me in touch with the Office of the Inspector General,
mm-hmm.
which is the supervising force, supposedly, over the Treasury Department, the IRS, Social Security, et cetera, all the financial areas of the government. And the Office of the Inspector General is also in Baltimore. So I have all the faxes that I sent to them telling them what was going on. All they can do you know what they told me? Baltimore Social Security is merely a data entry center. So everything I gave them was merely entered. Now, all of these Social Security number changes, they had me put code words on them, they had me do all of this stuff. I did not realize this. All of this showed up as alias names on my credit bureau report this entire time. So everything has shown up that anybody that buys that report, so it can be anybody from anywhere in the world that buys our credit bureau report, and absolutely everything that they had me do with protective names and code words and everything else to protect my record was immediately available to anybody who paid the $30 or $40 for the credit bureau report.
Okay, now in your estimation, is the Social Security, do you believe that there's a mole in Social Security? Do you believe these?
Absolutely.
I had another option.
Okay.
Or that it may be that the government is actually, you know, covertly selling this information to other people. Now, and when I say that, now before you say I'm crazy, okay, it reminds me of these reports that I see where the mysteriously, you know, the IRS lost, I don't know how many thousands of computers, laptops that had all these people's mm-hmm. information off of it. Or the Veterans Administration that lost 155,000 names. And mysteriously enough, now all of a sudden these people are having, you know, problems with their credit and identity theft. Well, you know, is this an accident?
Well, there's no cross-checking of employees. So my guess, and all I can say is that this has to be a guess because I'm not in those departments. But my guess from watching all this unfold in my life
mm-hmm.
is that what they are doing is that there is no cross-check of Social Security numbers on employees. And they don't know any more about that employee because there's no cross-check with the Social Security Department as to whether or not that Social Security number is legal. So there is no difference in the identity thieves working in the Social Security office as working in a car dealership where the credit bureau machines are, in a medical office where the credit bureau machines are, because that kind of access to put a fraud report together is exactly what's happening. That's how identity theft is happening.
And this is also fuel for the argument, you know, with the government of the national ID card. You know, well, you know, if we have a national
ID... It's no different. And we were, in fact, our Social Security cards were issued, and anyone can check the background on it. They were not to be used for identification purposes, and that statement had to appear on the Social Security number cards. It's not appeared like the past just few years, but it was always on the card, and it's not to be used for identification purposes. Now, and then you mentioned the Privacy Act, and when the Privacy Act came into being in 1977, I believe, it was a commission of American citizens that came together and said, once we computerize all of these things, we're going to have problems. And so what they said specifically was that no creditor can retain the Social Security number within their system. They can use it to check your background and your credit, but then once they do that, it has to be erased from their system. So, excuse me, every utility company has our Social Security number in their system. All the cell phone companies, everybody wants it, and they use it as your ID when you call in on your record. I've refused to let any utility even have it, and I've used a code word for all of my utility accounts. But citizens don't know this.
I was going to say, can you even do that, though? Because I know that there was a point in time.
They will not tell you this, but they cannot ask you for your Social Security. Ask you for your Social Security number, but they cannot. And if you refuse to give it, they have to put a code word in.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me stop you there and say that I did refuse to do this. I refused to give my Social Security number. And this is about 2 or 3 years ago when I was going to get, I don't remember what, electricity or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, that's fine. You can do that, but you're going to have to come down to the office and pay an additional $200 deposit to do it.
Oh, you'll love this. When I went under the forced Social Security number, I refused to pay the deposit to the phone company. And that's what I mean. The phone company was the biggest problem that I had up to that point, because the reason why I knew this is that I had a business line, and somebody called in who was a gentleman and asked the business line to be transferred to my residence address, and then they confirmed my residence address. Mm-hmm. He never said the code word. I'm the only person. There is no guy with a guy's name Mike home as part of my business. And I've been paying $18 a month for it to route through to a different city in San Diego so no one would even know where I live. And the phone company gave out my residence address to this gentleman without even the code word being asked.
Really?
And they said, oh, it was a clerical error. Yeah, that's how they found me on the fourth. That's why I changed the fourth. I had no option at that point but to go on to a fourth Social Security number.
Well, I know by law. Now, I've read this, and I don't remember this. You know, when I was going down the research path on different issues years ago, I know that there is a law that there is only four specific incidences that they can ask you that you must provide them with a Social Security number. One of them is for taxes, obviously. Another one, I believe, is for a driver's license. And then there's two other things. I don't even remember what they are. But if somebody asks you and you deny them and they tell you that you can't, you know, get whatever it is that they want or that you're asking for, they can actually, if you sue them, you can win $1,000. That's the law that I read. Okay, now I don't know.
And you're supposed to get $3,500 for every fraud credit application that's filed against your Social Security number, but to this date, I've proven all of it, and I haven't received a dime.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you'll love this whole thing on the phone company. So now I refuse to set up a phone line, right? So after my fourth Social Security number changed from 98 to 2000, I traveled the world three times, and I didn't have a credit card, didn't have a checking account, didn't have a phone, and didn't have a car. Because the reason why they did that was to take the car and say that the car belonged to someone else. So they were coming after me again. So I just said, that's it. I'm not paying to start over again. And especially since my congressman sent me a letter and said, after I told him the compromise with Social Security on the fourth Social Security number before I even got the card in the mail, because the card came with that strange name in front of my name, that strange name after my name, and just my middle initial H also. So I don't even exist anymore as Sheila Holm. And that's when I went to my congressman, and all he did was send me a letter saying, I have their assurances they'll issue you a fifth number. And all the Office of the Inspector General received from our Social Security office, the directors in the states, I don't know if Americans know this, but we can't even contact the Social Security offices in our states because they're in a lockdown facility, and the only phone numbers are given to congressmen. It's only your congressman that can contact them, and the congressmen aren't under the Social Security number system. So they can't even understand. They're under their own pension system. They've pulled themselves out of Social Security. So I couldn't contact, I could not contact them. So all the Office of the Inspector General said during those 3 years is that we've contacted them, and they said they're reviewing your file. 3 years later, we're still contacting them, and they are reviewing your file. So I traveled internationally, and a man in London that was born in New Zealand wanted me to be his business coach, and he wanted to fax me some things. And I said, well, just email them to me. And he goes, no, I want to fax them to you. And I said, well, there's a problem with the phones. And he said, well, what's that? And I said, well, let's just carry on, because when I'm with a client, it's all about them. It's not about me. And he said, I'm taking you to lunch. So he took me to lunch, found out what was happening, and he said, I find this incredible. He said, you're being an honest citizen, and you have to pay multi-hundred dollars just to have a phone line hooked up. And I said, they know it's me. They know I had to change Social Security numbers, and they're insisting that a change like that is a change to a new account, and that I have to pay this huge deposit. And he said, he flew me back first class the next morning. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to set up two phone lines, because I want to be able to fax to you on a phone line and call you on while I'm faxing to you. So mm-hmm. I want two phone lines, and I want them hooked up immediately, and if they won't hook them up in your name, I want you to put them into my name. So he flew me back first class the next morning. I'm at the gas station, and it took three phone cards to call from out in the community down into San Diego where the phone company is located. I had to wait until I got on the phone with a manager, and the manager, everyone kept insisting that he had to have a Social Security number, and I told the manager, I said, well, you know, I explained this to him, but because he was born in New Zealand, she said, he was born in New Zealand, and I said, yes. She said, well, then he's not an American citizen. I said, no, he's not. And he wanted two phone lines hooked up right away. Now, I wasn't lying to them. I didn't say he was going to be in America. I didn't say anything. She said, well, this sounds important. This is for business. He needs these right away. He wouldn't have a Social Security number. Do you want those phone lines hooked up tomorrow morning or tomorrow mm-hmm. afternoon?
Well, you know what? That doesn't surprise me a bit because, you know, I have a wife that is Scottish. She's from Scotland.
Oh.
Now, we're going to take a break here. We'll come back, and I'll continue with that. We've also got a couple callers on the line. We'll go to them when we get back. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special guest, Sheila Holm. Stick with us. It gets even better, folks. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
All All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, with my special guest, Sheila Holm. We got a short segment coming up to the top of the hour. I was going to tell you a little bit about my Scottish wife here. What's curious is that she didn't have a Social Security number either, Sheila. And, you know, they'll give her a bank account. They'll give her a phone service. They, you know, when a policeman pulls her over when she's speeding, which has happened 11 times, she never gets a ticket. Can you believe that? Hello? Sheila, are you with me? Did we lose Sheila? Hello, Sheila?
Yeah?
My engineer had your sound down. Can you? Did you hear what I said, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Did you know I'm Scottish?
Are you? Seriously?
My mom's side, the Grahams. You used to be able to, when they played the marching song, 300 Grahams would appear on the hilltop within an hour. That was our, we fought with Wallace, Braveheart, Robert the Bruce. I'm linked to that line.
Where? What town are you from?
Kilmarnock, south of Glasgow.
Okay. Let's go to a call. You want to?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to Dave in Texas. Dave, you're on with Michael and Sheila. Go ahead.
Hello, y'all.
How you doing, bud?
Real good. Listen, what I want to know is how do you change Social Security number? I went to them, and they said that's impossible. You get one for life. That's it. You can change
your
name.
You are supposed to get one for life, and clearly you do not want to change. It's an absolute disaster. You can't take anything with you. You can't take your education with you. You can't take anything with
you. How did you do it, and why were you doing it?
I was forced to do it, and the
DA's... But it's against their rules and the law. They told me, to my face.
They do not want people changing because it's harder to track, because they have to keep track of all of it. The sad part is they were reporting all four of my numbers, and
I'm
the one who had to stop them from doing that. I'm sorry?
If it's against their rules and impossible, quote-unquote, how did you do it?
It was their requirement to protect me. When it was due to identity theft that they were doing this, but all it did was allow, what happened each time I changed, all I did was open a new door for new identity theft against me, and that's exactly what happened to me. I was rebuilding my credit.
They initiated the change.
I'm sorry?
Did they initiate the change?
Yes, the DA's office insisted upon the change.
Well, I guess they can do whatever they want to, can't they? They own the Army.
I don't know. I don't know.
And, well, that's very curious. I'm Scottish, too. My surname is Stewart.
Where are you from?
Oh.
Where's the home base there, Dave?
Well, I'm double fifth-generation Texan, starting there, and then South Carolina. My people have been here since before there was a USA.
Uh-huh.
We started the USA and built it.
Uh-huh.
And five generations
now in Texas. We came in the 1840s, and some of them fought in the Civil War, and I didn't know that until just recently.
Yeah. Either. Oh, mine go back. They were colonists.
Uh-huh.
Colonists.
Okay, well, anything else you got to add there?
That's it, Michael. Thanks for letting me on.
Hey, thanks for the call, partner. Appreciate it.
Hey, we'll talk about Mexico.
I just got a report on Edna Lane here just a minute ago. Yeah, coming up on the... I was going to make an announcement the first of the hour, and I still am.
Yeah.
But it looks like the feds are back on their property again.
Yeah.
And you know, forgive me, I know this is off topic, Sheila, but this... And
that's okay.
You're aware of this situation.
Well, we were going to talk about Mexico, and we will.
Yeah.
It's not as powerful, just so you know. There's two things at foot here. We're only focused on Mexico, and the severe fraud strategy is planned against our economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's how to fight and win a war against how greedy and power-hungry we have been as a nation against them, and they're doing this without guns. That's their whole plan, and it's working.
Right, yeah. Okay, we're coming up on the top of the hour break. Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. At the top of the hour, I'm going to make a couple of announcements regarding Ed and Elaine Brown. It looks like the feds are back on the property. We've got some updated information here. Stick with us. We'll be back in a few, or actually 2 minutes, with my guest Sheila Holm, and we'll talk some more. So don't go anywhere.
It's true.